I wonder if we could open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 22 to 36. And we're going to build on what we've been sharing the last couple of weeks. We're taking a bit of an interlude from Ephesians for a few weeks to build on this prophetic word that we had back in June. As a church, which we felt as elders and leaders was a significant word. And out of that, God has really been speaking to us specifically about stepping out of our comfort zone and stepping forward on the front line. And so the last 2 weeks I've been preaching out of Joshua 1 and 2 and use an acronym STEP, S for standing and stepping out on God's word, written and spoken, T for knowing God's time, as a team, E for exploring with expectation, P for pursuing God's presence. And this morning I want to kind of develop that a bit further from a different passage of scripture, and it's one that I have referenced a little bit in recent weeks, but we're going to camp out there, as it were, this morning. So it's Matthew 14. It's the story of water walking, Jesus walking on the water, and Peter responding to him in the storm. And the context here is that Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. Great miracles happened. Crowds are following. In the parallel passage in John chapter 6, it says that people were so excited with what was going on, they wanted to actually make him king. They wanted to, they had a recognition of this is somebody amazing in our midst. Could this be the Messiah? And they wanted to make him king in their own way. And Jesus perceived that, and so he takes action. He, and the beginning of these verses, we're going to see he takes action, and sends the multitudes away, and then he makes the disciples get into a boat to cross over to the other side ahead of him, and then he goes up himself on the mountain to pray. That's where we're going to begin. He wasn't going to be led by the well-meaning or sometimes not so well-meaning agenda of others in terms of wanting to make him king their way. He had come to bring the kingdom his father's way. And so he goes up onto the mountainside to pray. And we're going to pick up then verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. That sounds like quite a strong word. He made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. So he's just fed them, now he sends them away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. We also discover earlier in this text that it was also evening time when he had actually fed the multitudes. So, and then he goes on the mountain, and as a time passes, the disciples set out, and verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, often vulnerable place, the middle, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary, it was against them, it was aggressive. Now in the fourth watch, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. Be of good cheer. It is me." In the Amplified version, it says, "I am. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was, in the New King James, it says boisterous. The wind was very strong. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. I want to give us a few characteristics this morning of a water walker or a kingdom adventurer. I probably prefer the latter. I'm going to use the two terms interchangeably because of the text. But we are in the season, but of where we sense Jesus saying, "Step out of the boat, come and join me in this adventure." I love the picture of in this season of Alpha of the couch and the knapsack. It says, "Join the adventure." It's a great contrast, isn't it? Yeah. When I first looked at that slide, I thought, what does that speak about adventure? I actually couldn't see the knapsack because it's a similar colour. What has a couch got to do with adventure? But then I saw this knapsack. Okay, you've got to pick that up and go on adventure. But that's the great challenge, isn't it? We're creatures of comfort. But Jesus calls us into the adventure of our lives. And so what are some characteristics of a kingdom adventurer? Number one, out of this text. A kingdom adventurer recognizes God's presence. He recognizes when the times in his life when there are defining moments. He recognizes where God is present, even in unlikely places or unlikely times. So Peter and the 11 are in the boat. They have this mother of all storms. How do we know it was a mother of all storms? The Bible says that they were being tossed. You know, when you think of the word toss, you think of somebody, my immediate association is somebody tossing a coin. That's a little thing being tossed by somebody a lot bigger. And this boat is being tossed by something much, much bigger. It's a big storm. And they are seasoned fishermen. They're terrified. The wind's strong. It's gale force. The waves meters high. And they're in this boat. And the safest, most secure place seems the boat. And then right out in the middle of the storm and the sea, they see this sort of figure on the waters. And we described it a bit last week. He's not just going like this, he's going like this. You know, he's on the waters and the waters are doing this. So this is like a helter-skelter ride for Jesus on the water. And they're seeing this figure and it's coming towards them, and they're terrified, and they think it's a ghost. But one out of the 12, responds to the voice and recognizes the presence of God, recognizes it's Jesus. And you may think, well, how couldn't they recognize that? You know, it must have been him walking in water. But often we're the same. We don't recognize the presence of God when we're in a storm. When I was an engineer and I had a promotion from, there were two refineries where I worked, a platinum metals refinery and a nickel copper refinery. And I'd been working in the platinum metals refinery for many years and we'd been through some challenging times, but yeah, we'd seen some good results, good successes in projects. Then I got a shift to the other refinery. It was a promotion, and I was in charge of about 1,000 employees. It was kind of a big shift. And anyway, over a period of 8 months, when I went, that shift happened. Everything that could go wrong with that refinery went wrong with that refinery in those 8 months. The wheels literally came off. I mean, that actually on some of the machines, the wheels did come off, literally. The ball mill packed up, which was the beginning of the whole process. We actually had two ball mills. We had problems with both. That's two parallel lines of operations. Anyway, I won't bore you with the details, but it was probably the most pressurized period of my engineering life. Jenny was a couple of months old. I hardly saw her for those 8 months. And it's very stressful. And to cut a long story short, because some of you have heard this story before, after 8 months, and it was kind of, I was in a storm. Every morning I went in, it wasn't just like, the land was supposed to be dry, and there was a sea of solution on the floor around the refinery. And anyway, they decided maybe I wasn't the man for that job. And so I went back to the platinum refinery. And to cut a long story short, that was a God thing. I didn't recognize the presence of God in that storm, but actually God was present in that storm. In fact, in that particular instance, he possibly orchestrated the whole storm. He allowed it to happen. Because that repositioning back to the platinum refinery enabled me actually to prepare for something that I didn't know was coming in a few months' time down the road. It was within that year we were asked, Lynn and I, if we would like to lead the church that we were part of. And there was a process that unfolded that led to me working part-time and then going full-time because of the work I was involved with in the platinum refinery, which would not have happened in project work in the platinum if I'd stayed in the nickel copper refinery. But I didn't recognize the presence of God in the storm. I only recognized it afterwards. So I have some sympathy with the 11 in the boat here. But Peter recognized the presence of Jesus. And he responded to it. He recognized the voice. And he responds incredibly daringly. Yeah? The recognition of Jesus draws something extraordinary and extreme out of Peter. And actually, that's what an encounter with Christ and recognizing him in life's pathways and our journey, that's what it does for us. There are defining moments. But as I talk about, even when we talk about defining moments this morning, what I'm wanting to focus in on here today is that this is to be a lifestyle with us. Although we're talking about here about a storm, there are many tests in our lives, many challenges, but God wants us to be people that are stepping out on a daily basis and recognizing his presence where we are and opportunities to share his presence with others. Peter recognized God was present in the storm and saw an extraordinary opportunity for spiritual adventure. When I was a student, finishing university, I ended up with, I'm reminded of this because my daughter's in the same boat currently in her season of life. And, you know, perhaps in this message this morning, I might share little snippets of what's happened with us this week. But I ended up with three choices of where I could pursue my future. I had a job offer. I was at university in Loughborough in England. I had a job offer back in South Africa, which as a nation in those mid-80s or early 80s was actually quite a stormy nation. There was a lot of storm in that nation, a lot of political unrest, a lot of challenges in the society. I had a job offer there. Then I had a job offer in what you might call my comfort zone, which was just down the road from where my mum and dad lived. Actually, it was where my dad worked, and I got it was a good job offer. And then out of the blue, I got an offer, the church I was part of, out of the blue, said, if you would like to go to Bible college, we will sponsor you, we'll support you for 4 years. And I thought, oh, where did that come from? You know, this must be God. No, I didn't. And so I went for an interview at the Bible college. It was called Cliff College in Sheffield. And they said, well, if you'd like to come, we'll be happy to have you. And as I was looking through the bookshelf there, just before I left to get a bus back to Loughborough, just kind of minding my own business, looking through the bookshelf, a book jumped out at me, which I actually subsequently bought, and it was called Battle for Africa by Brother Andrew. And God spoke to me in that moment. It was a defining moment. And said, you're not coming here. You're going back to Africa. And subsequently, he confirmed that through scripture in my devotions, spoke to me out of Genesis 12. Abraham's journey. Step out of your land, go to another land, step out away from your family, comfort zone, step away from your that workplace, you know, that your brother went to when he was in industry, comfort zone. Step out of the comfort zone and go into that what that situation where many people thought was quite stormy. It was a defining moment. It was discerning the presence of Jesus in that decision. And I stepped into something, and it was an amazing adventure. And Peter recognized the presence of Christ, and something was drawn out of him in terms of an extraordinary sense of an opportunity for spiritual adventure. So that's the first thing, recognizing the presence of Jesus. Secondly, kingdom adventurers discern the difference between God initiatives and human impulse, which is very important for people like Peter, who tended to, we see through his journey with Jesus, often tended to open mouth before engaging brain. He often tended to put his feet in first before asking the question. And but in this particular passage, he wants to clarify, in this story, he wants to clarify that the person that he is seeing is Jesus. And so he says, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. I want to hear that command. I want to hear you say, come. And of course, as we've been saying in the last couple of weeks, that is the difference between a step of faith, a step into adventure, which is the basis for our journey as Christians, and not just a lunge of faith, or in his case, it would have been a plunge. It's the difference between faith and foolishness, between discerning God's call and just a God thing, a God idea, and man's good idea. And there's a sense of something stirring here for Peter. I don't know if you can pick it up in the story. I mean, it's actually something quite extraordinary that he would want to step out of the boat in this mother of all storms. But he's heard Jesus' voice. He's seen the figure. He knows who he is, but he wants something more. The stirring is there for adventure, but he's looking for clarity. He's looking for a clear word. He's looking for a command from Christ. He recognizes this is not about extreme sports based on a plunge, but it's about extreme discipleship based on obedience. Circumstances are not enough for us, friends. Desire is not enough to go in adventure. Stirrings are not enough. We need to know God is calling us out of the boat. And here's the good news. He wants to call us out of the boat on a regular basis. But we need to be recognizing his presence, hearing his voice, following what he's saying in his word, and stepping out in adventure with his commands and his words. Because when we know that God's spoken, how many of you know, the fact that Jesus said, come, the storm didn't stop. The storm never stopped, even when he stepped out. So when you step out, it doesn't mean the storm will cease. In fact, sometimes the storm often will intensify. We see many examples in Scripture of people who were anointed or raised up, and God raised them up, and the enemy came. The enemy heard they'd been anointed. They'd heard David had been anointed. The Philistines came. Jesus has the experience at baptism, identification as the beloved Son, voice of the Father, Holy Spirit comes down, Spirit leads him, devil comes, battle on. Kingdom adventurers step out, though, on the basis of God's command, not just on a whim. And I love the sense of Jesus' response here. He is pleased to say, come. He doesn't say, oh, whoa, hold on, Peter, you know. You're getting a bit excited now, you know. This water walking thing, you know. is only for me. No, he says, no, he says, come. He's thrilled by his sense of wanting to step out. The third thing for a kingdom adventurer is the obvious one, okay? So, recognizes the presence of Jesus, discerns between God's initiative and human impulse. The third one is that kingdom adventurers actually get out of the boat. And that's stating the obvious, isn't it? To walk on water, you have to get your feet wet. You have to actually have to step out of the boat. Step out of your comfort zone. And if you think about this, Peter's choice is terrifying. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, or thereabouts. He recognizes Jesus, he hears his voice, but he still knows naturally that the boat is the place of security, safety, and comfort. He still has that power of choice and that decision where he has to actually physically get out of the boat. And so, yeah, it is following through on what God has said and making that decision to step out. And so going back to my student times, before I went to South Africa as a student, again, hadn't been there before, and I'd written down, again, this is a couple of years earlier, my second year at university when I had to do a year's industrial training. There was 3 options. And as a last resort, I put down South Africa as an option. It was kind of an afterthought for me at the time. But the following day, the guy who was organizing all that training for different people called me in and said, would you mind if we write off to this company in South Africa to see if we can get you a job there for a year? I said, oh, hold on a minute. That was like my third choice. He said, well, you've got 24 hours to think about it. So I went round to the couple who led the church that we were part of, and I prayed. Dennis was actually out at work, so I prayed with Dorothy. And as we're praying, she gets this picture of a boat bobbing back and to in a harbour and with the open sea before it. And I kind of, as I'm hearing her speak, I think, oh, I'm getting the drift where this might be going. And she said to me, the Lord says, cut the rope. And that was the beginning of that process. On the basis of that word, I then went back to this guy and said, I could start the process rolling, but then we'll see where it goes from there, and I'll let you know if this really is right, the right thing for me. God spoke to me through Scripture a few weeks after that, again confirming that it was the right thing to do. But I made a decision to get the process rolling on the basis of what I believe God was saying. And then I stepped out accordingly. There's a time that comes where we've all got to cut the rope in what terms of what God's saying to us. Step out. I'm looking at Heather now. She's in that phase right now. And Tiffany, in a new phase of her life. And you know, in terms of stepping out into something completely new and different. But let me say again, every single day, as a lifestyle, God wants us to be available to step out into something fresh and new in Him. You see, to be a follower of Jesus, I must renounce comfort as the ultimate value of my life. And I must do it on a daily basis. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself daily, take up your cross and follow me. Requires, and you know, we're all creatures of comfort, aren't we? We love the armchair. You know, most, as you know, we've got kind of this new lounge suite recently. We're settling down into it, and it's, oh man, much, it's, you know, it's just, it's like new. You just sort of, We love the comfort of, and we like that in life. We love to kick our shoes off, put our slippers on. We just love the comfort, and there's actually benefit in the comfort zone. Because we can't be running at breakneck speed all the time. We need to be living from a place of rest. But there's a huge difference, friends, between your and my comfort zone, what I like in terms of my preferences and my, my self kind of comforts, and God's sweet spot, where we draw rest in his presence and refreshment in his presence and life in his presence, as Jesus had done on the mountaintop. And out of that, he comes walking on the water to encounter his disciples. See, God wants us to understand that his comfort zone in his presence is far more important than our creature comforts. And so on a daily basis, we've got to decide to get out of the boat. So what's your boat? What's your boat? What are you relying on that gives you security, strength, and protection that's actually preventing you from stepping out in adventure with Jesus? Where are you relying on the false comfort of that position rather than embracing the true comforter of the Holy Spirit to take you on adventure with Jesus? Because he invites you into that adventure, adventure. In what area are you shrinking back in fear and timidity and unbelief rather than stepping out on the high seas of adventure with him? So your boat or my boat is what you are tempted to trust in when life gets a bit stormy. It's what produces fear in me, especially when I think of leaving it behind. And there could be many boats, can't there? The boats of our bank accounts. The boats of our career. Maybe the boats of bad memories where things have been broken in our lives. But we've got stuck in that boat. And it's just holding us back from recognizing God's presence, hearing his voice, and reaching out again in faith. Maybe a bad relationship. Maybe a good relationship that's been lost. But friends, we've got to... Jesus is calling us to come out of that comfort zone. Whether it's career, whether it's success, whether it's money, or whether it's those other things of relationships or hurt that we've struggled with, and Jesus is saying, come out of that. Come out of self-pity. Come out of self-focus. Come into this adventure with me that I want to take you on. Fourthly, kingdom adventurers accept fear as the price of growth. Do you notice in this text that they were terrified? There's a lot of fear going on in this text. They were terrified. Not of the storm as much, although obviously that did scare them, but initially of the person on the water. And then, of course, Peter was terrified when he stepped out and he took his eyes off Jesus and he saw the wind. And I want to say this. The disciples were in the storm because they were obeying Jesus' command to go to the other side. And Peter stepped out because Jesus said, come. And when we seek to step out as adventurers, and go into new initiatives in mission, in ministry, in life, in sharing our faith, fear will always be a constant emotion. Will always be there. As we described last week, when we're seeking to do something new, take new ground, take on new initiatives, fear will always be present. And so we need to settle it that fear is the price of obedience and growth. As adventurers with Jesus. So Joshua was afraid when God gave him that command, take the people in to the promised land. There was fear there. That's why God said, be strong and courageous. What is courage? Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the ability to look fear in the face and make sound decisions in the face of fear. I'm going to go forward because God has spoken. I'm going to go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit because he has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and soundness of mind. God has spoken, and that's the power that I have within me. It will always be around. And so, yeah, we have this command, don't we? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and share your faith. But here's the good news, is that Jesus not only gives us a command, but he empowers us with a spirit of courage to go and do that. He empowers us to do it. He doesn't just give us the command, but he enables us. He places us where we are in our neighborhoods. He places where we are in our schools and our universities. He places us where we are in our workplaces and said, yeah, you are on assignment. You're on this adventure with me to share the good news of who I am. This victory that we've sung about this morning, we have the privilege of sharing that hope with others. But if we're honest, it's also scary. Because not everybody is welcoming the message with open arms. Bridges have to be built. But friends, he gives us courage to share the message. And we need to do it afraid. Do it afraid. Know that that's not going to go away. But when we, if I can put it like this, growth in our adventure and growth in our character and fear, growth and fear, they're like fish and chips. They go together. The price of growth is fear. To grow in the kingdom, to grow in character, we need to be growing, realize that actually we're going to have to deal with fear. Be strong and courageous. Face it. Sometimes trace it. Displace it with faith. And erase it with love. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. You see, so that what's happening is that we are learning to partner with Christ in this adventure. We're learning to partner with the true comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power and the Spirit of love in sharing the gospel with others. Paul said to the Corinthian church, I came to you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. That's Paul. Isn't that good news? He came to people in weakness and fear and in much trembling. That's the most significant word in that statement, is that he came. He did it afraid. He was afraid. He was weak. But he did it. He was on a mission with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He didn't stay at home in his comfort zone, you know, with a familiar on his feather bed or as a boat potato or even as a couch potato on his lazy boy for fear of the opposition or fear of the journey or fear of the challenges. He says in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5, he confesses this, I had conflicts on the outside and fears on the inside. But his confidence was in Christ. And he drew strength from the Holy Spirit within him. And he did things afraid. It didn't hold him back from stepping out of the boat. And the final two, number five, just coming into land. Kingdom adventurers learn how to manage and grow through failure. So Peter steps out of the boat and then his focus shifts to the wind. He's terrified and he starts to sink. Jesus reaches out, picks him up, and he says to him, "Ah, Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He has that sinking feeling as doubts have come in. But I want to just say this. There's two ways of failing. Either we fail through having a go, or we fail through playing things safe. And the worst failure in life is actually failing through playing things safe. Because actually the way that we grow in life is through failure. We've been away with a little bit with Gareth and Andrea this week as eldership couples, and you know, we've seen with Danny and Amelia's little one recently, Ella, who we're going to be dedicating in 2 weeks' time. You know, she's taking those first steps, and you know, the parents are there. You know, come. You know, you start off maybe here, and then they fall, and then sometimes you reach out, sometimes you let them fall, and then they get up again, and eventually there's a few more steps, and then you know you're across the room saying, come. And then a few weeks later, you're wondering why you speeded up the process so much. Because they're everywhere. But that's the way we grow. That's not walking on water, that's walking on earth. But the same principle is the same. That the only way a child grows, and the only way actually an adult grows, is through bumping their knees and scraping their heads in life. We grow, as the saying goes, we learn through our mistakes. Without failure, we will never succeed. We have to learn to fail forward as kingdom adventurers. We have to take the fear factor, have to recognize the fear factor and do things afraid with courage and the power of the Holy Spirit, with the strength of God's word and with the camaraderie of others on the front line. And then we also need to realize this thing, that there will be times when we fail. There will be times when somebody says, I don't believe in that, when you share the gospel with them. And then you've got to deflect that rejection to the Father. Because he says, don't take it personally. That's for me to take care of. You're under command. That rejection is actually not directly at you, it's actually coming to me. Failure does not shape you. Colin and I were chatting a bit about this at the breakfast table this morning. Failure doesn't shape you. It is our response to it that does. And so you have 11 who stayed in the boat and never stepped out. And you have one who fails in the stepping out and sinks. But Jesus takes him under his wing. And he challenges him. We could almost, maybe there is a rebuke in what he says to him. But he's like a mentor, like a father with a son saying, why did you doubt? You can do it. Go, do it again. No, he didn't step out on water again. But he was saying, the learning point was faith, focus, step out again. Peter learned from his failures. His was the public failure before everybody. And in a sense, the other 11 had an opportunity to learn from his failure. But he not only learned, he grew through the failure. He had a connection with Jesus through in his failure that none of the 11 had sitting in the boat. None of the 11 experienced Jesus picking them up out of the water. None of the 11 had that conversation with Jesus about faith. It would seem that, because that conversation happened before they got back into the boat. Yeah? Look at the text. It was a personal moment between him and Jesus. And so we grow in our adventuring with Jesus through failure, when things don't quite work out as we hoped they would. We've been in a bit of a roller coaster this week with Jenny's had two interviews. One she got offered a job at quite a long way away in Dumfries and Galloway, and the next one she didn't get offered a job at, just down the road, just outside Edinburgh. And right now, they're in Dumfries and Galloway at a church, kind of checking out the land, exploring. asking God, you know, and, you know, as parents, we'll be processing that with her. And she's, you know, gone through various emotions this week. But what we need to know, friends, is God is in control. And not getting a job interview second time around, you know, like she did in the first one, is not failure. And perhaps something not getting what we expected is not failure. We learn, we grow. And Peter learnt and he grew through this failure. Acts chapter 3, we see him walking with John one day, and there's a man sitting in his boat. Well, not literally. He's a disabled man who's been sitting lame for 40 years or more, born in that condition. He's become a beggar, and he's asking for money. Peter and John walk past him, but it's Peter who speaks in response, I believe, to the leading of the Holy Spirit in that moment. I have something to give to this man today, the Holy Spirit is saying to Peter. Peter responds with John. Peter speaks and says, look at us. They're passing by this man. They stop. God moment, God encounter. The presence of God is there. And he says, look at us. He gets his attention, like Jesus had got Peter's attention on the water many years earlier. And he says, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Takes him by the hand. And the Bible says his ankle bones are strengthened. Bam, he jumps up. That's one example of what happens later in Peter's life. He has learnt through failure to respond to the presence of God, to recognize the presence of God, to step out on conviction, and he is confident of the presence and the power of God in his life to speak with courage and compassion into that condition, that storm, and see things change. The worst failure is not to sink on the waves. The worst failure is not to get out of the boat. And the final thing here in terms of kingdom adventuring is kingdom adventurers connect with Jesus at a deeper level. I've already kind of touched on that. So can I ask the question this morning, where are you today in your relationship with Jesus and how you relate to him? Are you huddled in a boat with a life jacket on and a seatbelt? Is there sort of one leg in and one leg out? Are you out of the boat but the wind looks pretty rough out there? Or are you stepping out on the water with him, where he is? Which boat is God challenging you this morning to step out of? Which adventure is Jesus wanting you to join him in? Ministry? New ministry? Mission? In terms of sharing the gospel with others? Jesus says, come to Peter, and he says, come. So that's this morning. He says, come, follow me. Come, and I will make you. That's a wonderful thing. As we come, as there to him, there is a making, there is a shaping, there is a transforming, there is a freedom that he brings.